I'd like to try to speak to you this morning about the jealousy of God. Or you might say the zeal of God. The jealousy of God. Exodus 34, verse. Let me just start in verse 12. Take care lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, lest it become a snare in your midst. You shall tear down their altars and break their pillars and cut down their ashram. For you shall worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. If you look throughout all the scriptures, it's just not here in the book of Exodus that we see the jealousy of God mentioned. You can find it in Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Kings, Ezekiel, Joel, Nahum, Zephaniah, Zechariah, and in the Psalms. The jealousy of God is definitely a theme that we see in the scriptures. I like to try to define it, what it is, and also just talk about God's jealousy for particular things that he has and try to see what we can have out of this morning. The jealousy of God. I mean, how would you define it? Well, we might go first to this verse here in Exodus 34 and look up the word jealous, right, very easily and see what it means there. It is to be jealous, to be envious. This is a lexicon definition here. Be jealous, envious, to be zealous. When you look in the scriptures and you see about the word jealousy, if you look more deeply, you can actually see that many times it could have been translated zeal, Z-E-A-L, zeal, and interchangeably in that way. For example, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, speaking about Christ, it says, of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will do this. If you look up that word zeal, it could have been translated the jealousy of the Lord will do this, or the ardor, the passion of the Lord will do this. Well, what is the word zeal? We talk about it sometimes. It's going to help us understand what the jealousy of God is more. This is just an English definition of the word zeal. It is a strong feeling of interest and enthusiasm that makes someone very eager or determined to do something. Or it's energy being expended for a specific purpose. When we're speaking about God being a jealous God, we're saying that he is jealous, he is zealous, he has a strong passion to maintain and guard his own honor. One brother said that God's jealousy is not a compound of frustration. Typically we think about jealousy, we think about sinful jealousy, right? We all know that we've seen examples maybe of the jealous boyfriend or whatever it is. And the scripture speaks much about jealousy in a sinful way. But when we're speaking about jealousy of God, we're speaking about something that is very pure. It's not a compound of frustration or envy or spite as human jealousy so often is, but appears instead as a literally praiseworthy zeal to preserve something supremely precious. Praiseworthy zeal to preserve something supremely precious. And God is very jealous. God is very zealous for his own honor in the world. And we'll see more about that. One brother said, the doctrine that of jealousy, defined it this way, that it is the doctrine that God continually seeks to protect his own honor. He's passionate about this, about his own name, his own reputation, his own glory in the world. It'd be helpful for us to realize that God is a living God, that he actually has a mind, the scripture says. He has a will. He has a heart. He has emotions. There's things that he's not a statue sitting back like Abraham Lincoln statue or whatever. It's not like that. He's very much alive and real, and he has passions. He has zeal, and he has a zeal to protect his own honor and his own name. We also might understand the jealousy of God more clearly if we understand that of a jealousy that a man would rightly have over his bride. A healthy jealousy that a man would rightly have over his bride. It is very right in the marriage relationship for a husband to desire the intimacy, to desire the attention, the affection, and the love of his spouse. It is a very right thing. We know that oftentimes it can be so imbalanced, but when we're speaking about God's jealousy, we're speaking about something of the highest purity, thinking about God, that he is a jealous husband over his bride, as we will see, but also he's jealous for his glory in the world in general, for he has made every person that exists, and he's very jealous and zealous that he would get the glory, that he would be seen and worshipped and praised as he ought to be. He's exceedingly jealous. He is jealous. He is zealous. He is passionate for our affection, our attention, our love. He desires that he have the rightful place in our hearts, that he be supreme, that there be no other gods, there be no other worship given to any other being except him. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, we see this. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation and of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." In this context, he had brought the people of Israel out of the house of slavery, out of the tyranny of Pharaoh. He had brought them through the Red Sea. He had taken for himself a people, and with that comes great responsibility, a great greatly serious stipulations with that. What is it? That have no other gods before him, that there be utmost allegiance to him. He's jealous for that. He's desirous of that. He's passionate about that. And you can hear the threat even when we think about God's jealousy. There's even a threat in these verses. And when we think about that God is a jealous God, we don't want to miss that. There is a great threat and a great warning that God is a jealous God. One brother said, "God's jealousy is his intolerance towards any and every rival." His intolerance. He will not tolerate any other rival. He will have his place on the throne. You can hear it even in these verses, the threat of God's jealousy. When he says, "Don't have any other gods before me," in verse 5, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." And then he says, "Visiting the iniquity on those who hate me," basically. You hear the threat there. When there's worship given to any other god, what's the threat of God's jealousy? There's going to be visiting of iniquity on those who hate him. Another way to say, "I'm a jealous God." If you follow other gods, if you forsake me, you will be condemned. Your iniquity will be visited. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." What do you think about when you hear the word consuming fire? It's right there next to God being a jealous God. It tells us something as we seek to define what it means. A consuming fire. If you think about these fires out west that just engulf acres and miles of forest. It's a consuming fire. What does it mean? It burns up everything in its path. It completely destroys it. Can you see what I'm saying about the threat and the fact that God is a jealous God? He is a consuming fire. And in the scripture, when we see God's jealousy, oftentimes we see His jealousy right in line with His wrath, side by side with His wrath. And there's many, I can multiply text here. Let me give you a few. Ezekiel 38, verse 19. "For in my jealousy and in my blazing wrath I declare, on that day there should be a great earthquake in the land of Israel." You see there, my jealousy and my blazing wrath side by side with one another. In Zechariah chapter 8, verse 2, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath." Deuteronomy 6, 15, "For the Lord your God is in your midst, is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you." You think about Ezekiel, and he says, the image of jealousy that provokes to jealousy. What it's saying there, as they gave themselves to idol worship, that in God he was provoked, that it was provoked in wrath against the idolaters. "Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from the face of the earth." So jealousy and wrath side by side with one another. We might say, if we're to try to make sense of it, that his jealousy for his own honor moves him to wrath when his glory is dishonored. In other words, his wrath is an expression of his jealousy for his own name. And someone may say to this, well, isn't that more of an Old Testament reality that God is a jealous God? I mean, we see a lot of the verses there in the Old Testament. Well, God does not change, right? In Malachi 3:6, I think that would be enough for us to say it there. "For I, the Lord, do not change." He is the same God. He is jealous today. He is a jealous God. But also Paul speaks about his jealousy in the New Testament. And first, there's many other verses in the New Testament we'll look at, but in 1 Corinthians, when he's speaking about idol worship, it says in verse 21, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy?" He says that to the New Testament church. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy with our idol worship? Now, I know in the context of that chapter there, it very much is hinting, definitely putting forth that people fell in the wilderness when they gave themselves to idol worship. They were not true Christians. But there is something here, right? There needs to be something in our minds of a healthy view of the jealousy of God that takes warnings like these in the Scriptures and warnings other places seriously, but in a way that it also doesn't negate, or we don't lose our firm trust, our firm confidence, our firm peace that we're right with Christ, that God, the jealousy of His wrath has been poured out on Christ on our behalf and those sorts of things. But at the same time, we want to be balanced in these things, right? And it seems like the writers of the New Testament had something on us that we lose greatly today, maybe. Maybe it's different individually, but they had a big vision of God, you know? You look at the Old Testament, read Isaiah, read these verses about the jealousy of God, and God is very big. Do you see that in the Old Testament? And sometimes we can like compartmentalize or something like that to where we lose this the majesty of God and the worth of God and how infinite He is and how self-sufficient He is and just all of His glory, how terrible He is in a healthy sense, that we would tremble. And even we need to keep this in our mind. Paul had it in his mind, this great, big, jealous God. And it really, if we see that more, it magnifies the truth that we see in the New Testament, definitely. So God is very jealous for His glory. That's one thing we could say. He is jealous. He is passionate. He is zealous for His own glory in the world. Someone said that these couple verses I'm going to read to you, that this is the perfect embodiment of God's jealousy right here. You want to know what it is that God is jealous? Listen to these verses. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I will give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. In Isaiah 48, 11, For my own sake I do it. For how shall my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. He's jealous for His own glory. Well, someone may say, well, what is the glory of God? We have a great need in our day to define terms. We use terms so much that many of us, we probably can't even give a definition to. How would you define the glory of God? Some brothers have said the glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of His manifold perfections. Or the glory of God is His manifest excellencies. If you look up that word glory, His weight, His brightness. I think there's a couple texts, though, that really are helpful to me when we think about God's glory. The reason I'm looking at this is because when we're talking about God being so jealous for His glory, it'd be nice for us to know exactly what we're talking about, right? Now, I realize that God's glory, in a sense, is very broad to where it can be difficult to define, but there are a couple texts that do shed a lot of light for us in defining the glory of God. And that's going to help us understand God's jealousy for it. In Exodus 33, you don't have to turn there, Moses prayed, please show me your glory. He prayed that to the Lord. And how did the Lord answer him when he answered that prayer? In Exodus 34, verse 5, it says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Did you catch it there? Moses prayed, show me your glory. How did God answer that? With a revelation of Himself, right? The Lord, the existing one. We see much in that, right? His self-sufficiency, His eternality there. The Lord, the existing one, His mercy, His grace, His patience, abounding in steadfast love, but yet His justice and His wrath, visiting the iniquity on those. You see, the glory of God is a revelation of who He is. Right there in the text, you can define it. Another place that is really clear to define the glory of God is found in Isaiah chapter 6 in that great vision of the throne room. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two they covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His... You would think it would say possibly holiness, right? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled of His holiness. But it didn't say that. It said the whole earth is filled of His glory. Now, people have pointed this out to me, all right? The whole earth is filled of His glory. His glory is this, His holiness being made public. His holiness, who He is, that He is in a category all by Himself. It has to do with His infinite worth, His intrinsic worth, that coming from Himself, who He is alone as God, set apart. His glory is that holiness being made public. The heavens are declaring the holiness of God. What do we see? Clouds and sun and sunsets and these things. It's a public demonstration. It's His holiness going public, being made known. So when we're talking about God being passionate about His own glory, zealous for His own glory, jealous for His own glory, we're saying that He is jealous that His name would be made known. The embodiment of His name, who He is in His character, His works that demonstrate, that flow back to present how great and awesome and glorious of God this is. He says in Ezekiel 39:25, "And I will be jealous for my holy name." He is passionate that He would be made known. And everything that He does is for His own glory. So when we're speaking about God being passionate about His own glory, we're saying that His name would be made known, that who He is would be seen and honored and worshiped, and the due glory due His name would be His. He's jealous for His glory in the world. The very heavens are declaring the glory of God. He did that on purpose, that people would see His invisible attributes are clearly seen in the things that have been made. But more specifically than that, He's revealed His glory to us in the pages of the Scripture in a specific way, specific things about God, who He is, who we are, how we might know this great God, the great sacrifice of Christ. He's jealous and passionate that that truth would prevail. Psalm 67 talks about, "Lord, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known in the earth, Your saving power among all nations." God inspired that psalm. He wants His saving power known in all nations, in all peoples, in all places. "Let the nations be glad." That comes from the heart of God. That what will they be glad in? In a revelation of the glory of God, in seeing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You can hear something. I'm not saying it specifically in this text, but is it not what fuels Christ when He gives the Great Commission? "And Jesus came and said to him, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to go forth in all the nations.'" The Lord Jesus Himself said when He was teaching His people to pray that this would be the main emphasis, this will be the thrust and the foundation behind all prayer, is that hallowed be Your name, right? That Your name would be made known. It is everything that God does in the gospel, as we will see. He does it for His own glory. He's jealous for that. And in His jealousy, He will pour out His wrath on all His enemies who refuse to honor Him. By His enemies, I mean all those who do not know Christ. If you are not a Christian, you are an enemy of God right now. There's so much glory stealing in this world, right? So much glory hogs in this world. That's who we were before we were saved. Glory stealers. Glory hogs. So much boasting in man, right? Boasting in some doctor that's so smart, or some person that, "Well, I got this on the ACT," or boasting in somebody else and their intellect or whatever it may be, or their power or their strength. But what's exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And it moves God. There's so much man boasting in this world. You better believe it. Nahum chapter 1 verse 2 says, "And the Lord is jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on His adversaries and keeps wrath for His enemies." If you do not bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you continue to live for your own glory, you do not glorify Him and bow to Him, there'll be wrath and fury. In His jealousy, He'll pour it out upon you. Even on the whole world, it will not come to Him. Zephaniah 3:8, "Therefore wait for Me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up to seize the prey. For My decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out upon them My indignation, all My burning anger. For in the fire of My jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed." In the fire of My jealousy, all the earth will be consumed. He's jealous. He's passionate about His glory. He's jealous for His glory and salvation. We see a picture in salvation in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 32, that for out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. You look that word up, you could say the jealousy of the Lord of hosts will do this. Him taking a people for himself. Ransoming a people for himself. It's the jealousy of the Lord that does this for his own name. He is jealous that his glory be revealed in the gospel, who he is. Do we not see much of the attributes of God revealed in the gospel? How much do we see his holiness, his justice, his love, his patience, his infinite worth, his sovereignty over all things. Even in all this glorious things that God has done for us in Christ that we see in Ephesians. For example, Ephesians chapter 1, our election. He has made us holy positionally and actually in our adoption, being sealed with the Spirit. It says in Ephesians 1:6 that it is to the praise of His glorious grace. He does it for His glory. Verse 12, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. He's jealous for His glory even in salvation. He's jealous for the glory of His Son. It says that God has highly exalted Him in Philippians and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, even glorifying Himself in those things and the glory of His Son. All things were created through Him and for Him. They were made for Him, for His glory, for the glory of Christ. And it's not wrong for God to be jealous for His own glory. The Bible condemns sinful jealousy, but when we're speaking about, again, God's jealousy, it is pure, it is lovely, it is glorious, it is right for God to, in everything that He does, to require even of men that see His glory in everything that He does, to do it for His own glory. It's pure. Satan will slander this truth to God's people about God, though, right? You know that, right? You know to look for that. That Satan slanders God to Christians. He does that. He may say God being about His own glory is not love. We'll see later that it is. He'll say different sorts of things about it. But all we need to do when things are attacked in our mind about who God is, we just simply need to trust what the Scripture has said. For example, in 1 John 1:5, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, right? I don't have to go read a 300-page book on what it means that God be passionate about His own glory, to just simply trust the Word of God, right? It may be helpful to read that book, but just to simply trust the Lord. There is no darkness in Him at all. Him being about His own glory and everything that He does for Himself, that's not dark. The Scripture says, it says that God is righteous. I can just put my heart upon that and trust God, that God is righteous. He does no wrong. And we as His people, thinking about God being jealous for His glory, we are to join Him in this great theme. It is your great privilege of a Christian. That's what God has actually done for you as a Christian, that He has given you a new heart. He has shown you the glory of Christ to allow you to enjoy making much of Him, right? Is it, you've experienced it if you're a true Christian, that when your eyes are upon Christ and you are very small and God is very big and glorious, that there is great delight in that. There is great worship in that satisfies the soul. But we are to join Him in this great theme of God being all about His glory. We are to be jealous for God's glory in the world and passionate and zealous. Scripture says that we actually can have the jealousy of God. Of course, it is in measure, right? But what about Phinehas? It says about him in Numbers 25 when he took the spear and the Midianite woman, that they were in just open sin after all these things had happened and God, there had been judgment brought and everything. And Phinehas, in his jealousy for the Lord, goes and spears them through, right through their stomach, right? And the Lord commends Phinehas for this and says, in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them. Christians, we are to have the jealousy of God rising up in our soul. We are to be like Phinehas, jealous for his jealousy. Time would fail to speak about all the people in the scriptures that were jealous for the glory of the Lord, that served to us as an example that we might follow. What about Jehu, that as he came to Jehonadab on his way to slay the rest of the clan or the people of the wicked king Ahab, and he comes up to Jehonadab and says, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord," right? "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord," as he goes forth to bring forth judgment that was promised, right? That he spoke to Elijah. That as he goes forth, "Come with me and see my jealousy for the Lord." What about David, as he heard the taunts of Goliath, right? Was that not jealousy of David when he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Was that not the jealousy of God raising up in his soul? We ought to be like that. Now, in the present day, we don't fight with rocks and spears, but we fight with spiritual weapons, with the sword of the Spirit, with the shield of faith, with intercessory prayer, with sacrificial love, that we go forth in war for the Lord, jealous for his name. There's other people in the New Testament we could talk about that were jealous. What about Paul? It says of him in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, he says to the Corinthians, "I feel a divine jealousy for you. I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." He just felt a jealousy, just a watchfulness, a love for these people, that he wanted them to just cling to Christ. He feared lest Satan had led their thoughts astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. He was jealous. There was a protection there and a zeal for them. He's jealous with his jealousy. What about when Paul said also in 2 Corinthians 11:29, he said, "Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant?" When somebody makes one of these little ones to fall, it roused the jealousy in the Apostle Paul. He was indignant. So it's very right for a minister to be angry at times, right? Some, or even God's people over sin and certain things like this. It is the jealousy of God. "Who is made to fall? And I am not indignant." We are to have the jealousy of God as well. What about the zeal or the jealousy of the Lord Jesus, as he went into the temple and turned over the tables and drove the people out with a whip? And it says, quoting back to Psalm 69, "The zeal for your house will consume me." You look the word up both in the Greek and in the Hebrew back there, you could have translated it jealousy. The jealousy for your house will consume me. That the name of God be honored, that the name of God be worshipped. And he is jealous for his glory in this church. We need to see that. Bring it home, right? We speak about these things sometimes, the jealousy of God, these high and lofty things about God. We need to bring it home, that this is reality, that God is jealous for his glory in this church. But there are competitors to God getting all the glory that he deserves in this church. And the competitors are us. Now, the true Christian, we have new hearts. We want God to be glorified, but yet we do wrestle with the remnants that remain, right? Much in the scripture talk about selfish ambition. Basically what? Seeking your own glory. And I would just say to us, let's not compete with the Lord's glory in this church. You say, well, how could that be? Well, we could begin to be a people that boasts more in man, and it may be more in us than we realize. And boasting in man, boasting too much in our circles, in all the truth that we have, in our preachers, in our spiritual gifts, on all these sorts of things. Not in a humble gratitude and being thankful, thinking the best about others or whatever it may be, but something that begins to puff us up. That we maybe, it's almost like, sometimes I wouldn't say this is true across the board, but there sometimes can be a flavor of this. It's almost like we're the elect of the elect. There can be that kind of flavor at times. God is jealous for His own glory. That's boasting in ourselves. That's not boasting in the Lord. And He will show us how much we need Him. He is jealous for His own glory. Their eyes would be upon Him. Our eyes would not be upon men. So as you struggle, as temptations come, and they are sure to come, to boast in self, to get glory. The approval of man is a real temptation for all of us in different degrees. Don't fret. Christ is very sympathetic. You run to Him. There's a throne of grace. But also look it dead in the face and realize what it is. I'm seeking to compete with God's glory. I'm seeking to get glory for myself. We can't be boasting in ourselves, our own maturity, whatever. We must have a big vision of God and a small vision of ourselves. There can be great, it can happen so easily. And it may be, and it can happen where you don't even notice it. When people become big and God becomes small. We really need to meditate on who God is. He's jealous for His own glory. Not only that, but God is jealous over His people. God is jealous over His people. You can understand God's jealousy if you understand that we are the bride. We are the bride of Christ. There's one verse I want to point out in Isaiah 42, verse 13. It says, what I'm saying about this verse, one of the ways that God is jealous over His bride is in protection over His bride. A man knows that he's going to protect his wife, right? If somebody began to assault my wife as I'm preaching, I probably wouldn't be preaching anymore, right? I'd be down there seeing what's going on. Andre would probably have them over there, though. Maybe I could keep preaching then. But we know that, though, right? That there's a protection. And in this verse, I think we see that. In Isaiah 42, verse 13, the Lord goes out like a mighty man. See this vision of God. Like a man of war, He stirs up His zeal. Remember, you look that word up, zeal, even in this verse, I check these things, that like a man, He stirs up His jealousy. He cries out. He shouts aloud. He shows Himself mighty against His foes. He's comforting the people of Israel in exile about what He's about to do and bringing them back in this context. He's jealous in protection. How much protection has gone on in your life, even yesterday, even today? All the hosts of hell that have been kept back. Yes, He allows them at times, but it's specific. It's ordained. It's under the protection of God. How much has been kept back? How much has been kept back even over a remnants that remain of sin that you could fall into because He's jealous over you in protection. We are His bride. Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her with the water of the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and without blemish. In the gospel, God is taking the person that trusts in them and has wed them to Himself. Married to Christ. Every true believer is married to Christ in a covenant that will never be broken. A covenant that will never be broken. It's deeper than the marriage covenant. According to 1 Corinthians 6, it talks about the two will become flesh, but then it says in verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. Two become one flesh, then joined. Whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. That tells me it's much deeper to be married to the Lord. And we are His bride, and He's jealous over us. He's jealous, and He's desirous for our affections and our loyalty. And this is not wrong for God to be this way. It is love for God to be jealous over His people. Think about it. God is self-sufficient. He has no lack. Read Psalm 50. If He had need, would He ask anybody? Need is not a word that God has, right? Need is a creature word, one brother said. God doesn't have any need. He doesn't need us. He's sufficient in Himself. He is not lonely, but yet He's jealous for our affection, that we would be completely consumed and wrapped up with Christ and boasting in Him and striving to live after Him, that when He doesn't even need us, it's love. And for God to for God to move in our lives and work everything out and be disciplining us and moving upon us to help our eyes be fixed on Christ, but to be on Him alone. It's the most loving thing God could do, because He is the source of all beauty. He's the altogether lovely one. He's the source of all true joy and glory and worship, that which will satisfy our souls for all eternity. For God to move and work on us in that way is not, it is love for God to be jealous. We see a picture of this in Hosea chapter 2, verse 5 and 7. It says, "For their mother has played the whore. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, 'I will go after my lovers, who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink.'" Now this is the Lord saying this. So what's happening here? They're going after other lovers, going after other gods, going after sin. "Therefore," this is the Lord saying, "I will hedge up her way with thorns." This path of sin, I'm going to put thorns all in it, figuratively speaking. You ever try to walk through a path of thorns? "I will build a wall against her." Not only is there thorns right there, now there's a cement wall, you might say, right there in this path of sin that you're trying to go down to, so that she cannot find her path. It says that she shall pursue her lovers, but not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. "Then she shall say, 'I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me then than now.'" Is that not your experience as a believer? You begin to get off track, whatever it may be, just on the daily maybe, in different things. Just pursuing, and there it is, the thorns of God, the wall of God before you, to where you realize, what am I doing? It was way better for me back when I'm all sold out for Christ and just wanting intimacy with Him, not living for anything else but Him, right? That's an expression of His jealousy over it. He's fighting and moving. And it'd be healthy for all of us to realize, when we're speaking about God being jealous over His bride, that He's jealous, if you're a believer, that He's jealous over you specifically, that you are His specific bride in such a way that it is as if you are His only bride. It's very, very personal. And all the God being about His own glory and all these things, we need not lose the fact that this is all very, very personal to us. This is all very, very intimate for His people. In James 4:5 it says, "Or do you suppose it is of no purpose that the Scripture says, 'He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us'?" And I know that verse is highly debated, but I think the context is so clear. I think the ESV got it right. It's in the context of speaking about you adulterous people. What it is to be adulterous to people? Losing your first husband. It's very much an idea of the jealousy of God here. That the Spirit that He's made to dwell in us, He yearns jealously. What? The Spirit within us, our hearts would be His. He yearns jealously, passionately over our hearts, that all of our affections would be rooted in Him. It ought to give you a lot of encouragement that God fights for you in this way. God's doing this in your life. If you're a Christian, He's stripping things away to have you more just wrapped up with Him. And Paul, if Paul can say he feels a divine jealousy for the Corinthians, that's just in measure. He had the Spirit in measure. How much more the Lord Himself feels a divine jealousy for you as a Christian. The Scripture says in Isaiah, "Behold your God." I would just say to us this morning, behold the jealous God. Think on Him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would open up our eyes to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.